This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's great to hear the voice of our next guest for the first time in a month. Vinny Maliulo, of course, Gone Gaming. A legend, a Hall of Famer from behind the book at one of the best books on the planet. That is the South Point there, our VSIN studios. Just quickly want to let you know, as the break was happening, I received to my personal email a brand new VSIN Pro jocking. And I mean going on and on. And this is a person that loves the Mountain West. He can't stop talking about it. Going on and on about how in-depth and how great the college football betting guide is. All I'm doing, I'm not a shill. I'm literally just telling you what people are emailing me that have got the copy. You can get yours. VSIN.com/subscribe. Two things I'll point out. Mackinnon talking about the new head coaches, so important. Think about the job that Kalen DeBoer did up at Washington. And then also Adam Burke talking about the mitigation of home field advantage in college football. Vinny, we say hi to you. Amal Shaw. You know, Vinny, it was before, but not much before, the NFL home field advantage. You and I talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
The pandemic, and then it carried through. Like, that standard number of three that we all grew up hearing isn't necessarily the case anymore. And hi, good to see you.
Good to see you, Patrick. Welcome back. Good to Thank be you. With you, Amal, and Dustin for sure. You know, I've got to tell you, it started right a little bit before the pandemic, and I think some of it had to do with the way teams travel nowadays, which is much more efficient, much more comfortable. The fact that given scheduling anomalies, let's say they were in a let's say an East Coast team was on the West Coast for back-to-back games. It wasn't like they were crisscrossing the country twice. They started to stay regionally for extended periods of time to keep more adjusted. And frankly, listen, players have learned to just play better and be better on the road. So that home field advantage of three anymore is not a rubber stamp. I mean, let's face it, guys. There are teams that have little to no home field advantage. I mean, it's unfortunate, but when you go to a Charger game, and there are typically more opposing fans in Los Angeles for a now, I think that will start to change, and particularly as the Chargers begin to improve. You know, going into last year with the Jags, it was a similar situation. So not every home field is created equal, and it's not a rubber stamp anymore. There are still some teams that have a significant home field advantage. Seattle, I think, is certainly much stronger than a lot of other places. Kansas City is still strong. But for the most part, there's a much bigger disparity in college football, which, by the way, in some places exceeds 3 points. I mean, there are locations in college football that are far greater than like a Tuscaloosa, the Big House. I mean, look, there are places in college football that are you know, four, maybe even five in some cases, depending on the matchup.
You know, that's a great point you brought up in terms of the question, Patrick. And what we're seeing is a shift in some of the places, and some of the places you're making an adjustment to a greater value. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that people need to pay attention to as you go forward. And one other thing you got to adjust in the season is whether it's in college or the NFL. If a team is having a down year, the Miami Hurricanes, a perfect example, who we're going to talk about in about 10 minutes. They're a team starting the season, you say, okay, we'd kind of assign them a certain point value. And once they fall off that cliff, Patrick, it changes the dynamic of how you see their home field advantage, especially when they're getting beat by three touchdowns by Middle Tennessee in September at home.
Well, it's Vinny's quote. Not all home field advantages are created equal. Yeah.
It's true, guys. And, you know, to Amal's point also, Patrick, I think what you want to do is, you know, we adjust power ratings during the course of the season. And sometimes we really had to start adjusting some home fields depending on how well the team is doing, right? So, again, there are locations, and it's same thing in college basketball. There are the college home field, home court, far exceeds the pros anymore. So there was a time it was rubber stamped as a field goal. Not the case anymore.
Patrick, there's one thing I love more than Jalen Pickett and Aaron Rodgers. That's Kansas at home at the Fog.
And Self has done a hell of a job as well. Set me up tonight. Hall of Fame game. Look, we understand what the product has been, but they're going to bet it.
Oh yeah. They're betting it now. I mean, in fact, so a couple of things, and let's see where it opened. And it was for the longest time when we put this game up a few weeks back, almost a month ago, when it was, when we knew the matchup. And again, the Jets, with Hard Knocks, and both these teams with an extra game during the preseason. The Browns open as a 1.5-point favorite. The total on the game, 33. Right now, we're sitting at the Jets as a 2-point favorite, and the total, 33.5. Now, why is that? Is there some kind of, information out there? I think what we started to realize, and I think the best advice I would give people, and ourselves, and this is what we do. You really want to start listening to what coaches say. Go look at, watch press conferences, and get information as to what the intent of the coaching staff is looking at in these particular games. Right? I don't think either team is thrilled about the fact that they've got an extra exhibition game. I walked in. I heard you guys, at the end of the last segment, you brought up a great point. You talked about an important point. Let's just stay healthy, right? I mean, it's tough enough to stay healthy. We're seeing some injuries out of practice right now, much less coming, taking place in a game tonight. So we know we're not going to see either starting quarterback. We're not going to see the ones, I don't think, for either side in this game. So what do you look at? Well, I think you break it down by both teams, right? I think if you're looking at the Jets, it's really you want to pay attention to Zach Wilson, yeah. Right? Zach Wilson is going to play, and you want to look, I think, to see, okay, what's his attitude? Is he going to accept the fact that, okay, listen, we realized a couple of years ago you were the number 2 overall pick in the draft, and you were earmarked to be the future of this franchise. Well, now you're getting tutored by a future Hall of Famer. But I mean, that's the reality. Does he accept that and go out and say, this is a tremendous opportunity to have a great learning experience and be part of a team that's on the uptick, right? The other part for the Jets, I think, is you want to look at probably Becton, who, again, another high draft pick, who's probably going to get more reps tonight than he would have if he were playing better and if he was healthier all that time. So you want to see how that goes. Because the Jets, as I mentioned, they're on the uptick. I think if you're looking at the Jets, what is their biggest, call it a concern or biggest need or something that they're going to have to evaluate in training camp? It's probably the offensive line. Right? I mean,
yes.
Depth,
yep.
And quality, protect Aaron Rodgers at 39 years old. So I think that's from the Jets side. From the Browns side, a cultural change. You're not going to see Deshaun Watson, but you are going to see, Kellen Mond, Dobbs. Are we going to see Thompson Robinson from UCLA? What are they? So those are the things you're looking at. So you say, well, how did this game move? Well, a little bit of money, but it also, first of all, we don't book these. The limits are not the same as they are for the regular season. We know that, right? They're lower limits.
Yeah.
And you're not the same line movement. You're not having the same line movement. You're not going to go from pick or 1.5 on the Browns to a 1 on the Browns, it's going to be a much bigger step, and so your line movement is a lot quicker, your limits are a lot lower, and then you just evaluate. But you study it from our side. You it's going to be good business. It's going to generate a lot of business. People are hungry for football. They want to see it. They want to play it. And from our side, what we're going to do is look at some of the little intangibles I talked about from both teams.
Patrick, to me.
Sorry, great point on Becton, by the way. Just it's a great point by Vin, because you don't generally see he's going to get 20, close to 25 snaps tonight.
That's a
lot of work.
Exactly.
That's a lot of work for a potentially starting tackle. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. That is a big number. And I'll tell you what, though, guys, if he plays well on a series or two, he may not even play 25 plays.
Yeah. You're right. That's a good point. So you want to look at it because they need that. They need him to be good, to be better, right?
And one other thing I just want to add, yes, it's a game. But in reality, these guys are being evaluated in the practices and leading up to it and everything else. Mm-hmm. The Hall of Fame game is just, you know, it's just a way for the NFL to make money from NBC. That's all it is. So from a game standpoint, I don't think you need to worry too much in terms of looking at guys who are going to play. Last year's Raiders game was an aberration. They put up 27 points. You go back 2 years, 16-3, 14-10, 17-16. So I don't know. It just feels like, Patrick, 34 seems to be a higher number.
Agreed.
Well, the other thing is
Hall of Fame games, 29.3 average. Go ahead,
yeah.
Ben.
And the other thing is, I just want it to be played. I don't want an issue with the paint. I don't want an issue with lightning. Think about what's happened, right? And then tomorrow we're all sitting there going, well, the game didn't go 55 minutes. We're giving everybody, please. So that's the other thing that comes up with these. We're laughing, but it's true. We know it happened.
In 2002, Wisconsin, UNLV.
Again, I have to. Listen, I know the statute of limitations is
this is like murder. There is none.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know anything about the green pickup truck that was down on Russell, off of Russell Road, behind Sam Boyd Stadium that ran into that transformer.
Vinny, I hope you're having a great summer. It's great to see you. Look forward to another football season with you. Thank you very much.
Good to be with you guys. Always enjoy tonight.
Of course, the South Point legends, Hall of Famers, all of them behind the book there at the South Point. Stop by and say hi. It's a great book. When we come back, we got to dive into Miami. Amal is high on Miami and Cristobal. It's coming up.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Soon enough, you will be looking live at the 2023 college football season, and VSIN is here to help. Our college football betting guide features best bets from writers and on-air personalities. That's one thing I will say, just as an aside. I was combing through it this morning. I'm like, if you have, whether it's Wes Reynolds or, you know, anyone, whoever you consider to be sharp at the network, if you trust me, you're going to get a ton of picks. Everybody got involved, which is great. Our college football betting guide has a preview of all 133 FBS teams. If you want to bet, if you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, also remember Burke put together how to come up with your own power ratings. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. When you do, you get the picks. You get everything we offer. VSiN.com/subscribe. A bunch of different options. Just get over there and check it out. You won't be sorry. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back, I do want to say, first off, thanks to Vinny. We covered the Browns with your boy, Zach. We've got Andy Vasquez. I think we've talked to Vasquez before. He covers on the beat the Jets. So, again, you got the Browns Jets tonight. The Jets favored by 2. Have we come off the 34 back down to 33.5, boys? Did we lose the hook there, Amal? I think it's coming back a little bit.
I'm not surprised. I would expect it to. I mean, 34 is a really good number because you wind up with a scenario of 20-14. You at least wind up with a push if that is the result. But I don't think any team's really going to be sniffing 20 points in this game.
I was eavesdropping on the Vinny Amal conversation. Amal was emphatic about a team that he's going under on. Before I say the team, I don't want to ruin tomorrow's show. So we go to the big guy, executive producer of Sharp Money. We are now, what, 4 or 5 months into Sharp Money? I was out a month, so it's hard for me to keep track. You guys did a whole month. When did we start? We started with March Madness.
February 27th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you run the ship, so I don't want to step on your toes. Are we doing the SEC tomorrow?
We can do the SEC tomorrow. We've covered everyone, I think, but the Big 12 in depth so far. But
well, so to pay off on Patrick's tease, we're going to have to do the SEC tomorrow.
Why?
Because maybe we could just do it. I can give the team.
Yeah, you can do it now.
Emphatic.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I give the team.
Yeah.
This is the under.
This is the under on a team.
Oh, yeah. He loves the under. You could tell when Amal has a certain kind of inflection in his voice. You could tell. I just went quickly. My favorite thing when I used to watch like the local TV was when you'd get the birthday shout out. So I want to give a shout out. This human being was born August 3rd, 1977. He is 46 years old today. You guys want to guess?
46. Who?
I'll put it this way. He lives a pretty ideal life.
Someone you know personally?
He went from a supermodel, go ahead, to another supermodel, to another supermodel. His name is Tom Brady. He's 46 today.
I thought he was going to say Adam Levine.
But is he still doing Fox this year? Is he going to be an announcer? Is that happening?
You can put a piece of white toast in the announcer booth and it would have more personality than Tom Brady calling a freaking football game. I tell you that
That's for sure.
You just offended him because enriched grains cause inflammation and he would never be associated with white toast.
It's good for digestion though. Didn't you two have a fight about brown rice at some point on the show?
We did.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah. You'll die from it.
No, don't go there. The under, and I was interesting to hear this. You love Tennessee's under this year. What's the number? I'll look it up right now over at DraftKings, but go SEC.
So
Tennessee, you're going under here, Amal.
Yeah, I saw 9 this morning at a different book. So to me, look, when you look at this team, you lose the quarterback in terms of what we saw out of Hendon Hooker. You lose your best receiver in Jalin Hyatt. You lose your best offensive lineman. Help me out here. The kid who went to the Bears. I forgot his name, but he was tremendous at left
Darnell
tackle.
Wright.
Darnell Wright, thank you. So you lose those three pieces. Look, everyone talks about Joe Milton's arm strength. This is not a bodybuilding contest. I don't care that you're strong. I need somebody that can throw the ball with accuracy. Accuracy is not a strength of Joe Milton's. Real quick, breaking down their schedule. They're at Florida. Make no mistake about it. The Gators may not be a great team. It's a rivalry game. Whenever the Big Orange and the orange and blue get together, it's always a tough, tight game. Remember last year, we saw Anthony Richardson with a crucial turnover. That was a pretty competitive game for most of it, and then Tennessee pulls away. You've got to go for the big rivalry third Saturday in October, always down in Tuscaloosa or on Rocky Top. This year, they're in Tuscaloosa. They're going to lose that game. Georgia comes calling November 18th. Georgia's got enough time with Carson Beck or whomever it may be at quarterback at that point in time, like Kenny McIntosh at the tailback position. Tough game. South Carolina. I'm going to tell you, people are sleeping on the Oklahoma transfer. Help me out with the name. The kid, Spencer Rattler.
Rattler. Oh, yeah. Rattler wasn't suspect. They thought he wasn't coming back. It was a wish for him to come back, a dream, and he came back. It's huge for them.
I think he's going to have a big year under Beamer and company. I mean, look, they're going to beat Virginia Austin Peay, but Patrick, you look at the games against A&M, South Carolina, Florida. Kentucky, another rivalry right up there off of Interstate 75. That people don't realize those schools are about 3 hours apart. That's a rivalry. They've got 6 games that are swing games on their schedule. They've got to go 4-2 for the over to hit, and you've got to go at worst 3-3 in those 3 losses. And the under, I like Tennessee under 9 this year.
Love it. And I want to transition because we started today was an ACC day.
Yeah.
And fellas, I got to go at you on Miami.
No problem.
I'm sorry. Miami's win total set. They're 7.5 over at DraftKings. I literally just don't see it. My nephew would say suspect. Sus is how they shorten it, the kids. But let's get into it. You got turnover, of course. I know Gattis is gone, so it's kind of an addition. In from Houston comes Shannon Dawson to run the offense, but it's going to take some time to get used to the system. Also a new system because remember Kevin Steele left for Bama. So Lance Guidry comes in from Marshall. So Cristobal, who is in year 2, has 2 new coordinators, Tyler Van Dyke, Dustin Amal. The regression was real. I know injuries, but the regression was real last year. The offense averaged 23.6. It was a pitiful offense. The defense was terrible. They lose Kitchens. The more I dug into it, I'm just like, listen, I understand that Cristobal, it's provincial down there in Miami, and there's a lot of hope coming into the season. Turnovers, now they're going to cut down on them because Gattis is terrible, but turnovers were huge for this Miami team last year. 7.5. I don't have them getting to 8. Amal, you run with it.
I'm going to say 8 for the Miami Hurricanes, probably not to 9, but here's the reason why I think they're going to be far better than they were last year. 5-7, they absolutely get boat raced in the 3 of their final 4 games, Patrick. I felt like the team quit. I think this is a new year, new situation for this team. Let's start on the defensive side of the ball. You mentioned Lance Guidry comes in from Marshall. This is going to be an upgrade defensively. I've never been a big Kevin Steele guy. I love the fact that Bama picked him up. To me, this team will be to be better defensively. When you look in the secondary, let's start with Williams and Kitchens. These guys are very, very good, and they're all league talent in terms of the safety position. Kitchens had 6 INTs last year, did a tremendous job. Williams, one of the leading tacklers. And then on the edge, when you look up front, you look at this team with Mesidor and Harvey, both guys who are bookends that can get after the quarterback. I think Miami defensively will be far better. On the offensive side of the ball, this is where the question marks come in. And this is, to me, where the big concern is with the Hurricanes. It's the wide receiver position. Young, George, and Restapro, are these guys going to be good enough? I don't mind the tailback position with Parrish and a young kid out of American Heritage High School, Mark Fletcher. He's an absolute dude. Alabama, Ohio State, they both wanted him. He ends up staying in the area and ends up going to Miami. They get Javion Cohen, the transfer from Alabama, should be an all-league offensive lineman. This team is going to be pretty good. They've got Cam McCormick, who comes in from Oregon, tight end, should be effective. And one other lineman I forgot, Matt Lee, transfers in from UCF. I think the offensive line will be upgraded. I think Van Dyke's a solid quarterback. Not great. He's not in the Drake May. He's not in the Jordan Travis category, but he's a pretty good quarterback. Miami needs to get off to a fast start. You look at the schedule, Patrick. They got A&M, second weekend of the season, down in South Florida. Humidity could be a factor, even though A&M plays in a humid area. I still think that helps the Hurricanes. If they win that game, they could start out 5-1 or 6-0 to get the season going. Their back half of the schedule is very challenging, but they can beat Boston College. They can beat Louisville. I think this team can get to 8 wins.
Good call. I misspoke. Cameron Kitchens, he might be the best safety in the country. That group is loaded. They do lose big guy. Their top two corners they're going to replace with a new DC. A good layout by Amal. 7.5 is the number on your dad's Hurricanes team.
The key to this entire team is a guy by the name of Shannon Dawson. Don't look on the depth chart too deep to find him because he's not a player. He's the new offensive coordinator. Why do I love Shannon Dawson? Well, he got his start as an assistant under Hal Mummy at Southeastern Louisiana. Hal Mummy created the air raid offense with Mike Leach at what school? Iowa Wesleyan, but then took it to Valdosta State. Tyler Van Dyke a couple years ago was projected to be a first round pick in the draft. He absolutely fell apart last year with Gattis as his offensive coordinator. Gattis is gone. The air raid is in. The whole country goes to Miami and Coral Gables to get their weapons on the outside. If they just have serviceable receivers that come from that South Florida area, they should have a system to get them the ball in space and make plays. That is the only saving grace this team has, is if Shannon Dawson's offense can turn Tyler Van Dyke into a prospect again.
Good point by the big guy. The air raid does cover up for the lack of talent on the outside, Amal.
Yeah, no question, but he's right. They've got to get better at the skill position. This defense will be able to carry them for a little bit early on.
We're going to the Jets Hall of Fame game. Andy Vasquez next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hall of Fame game tonight, Canton Jets, 2-point favorite, 33.5 on the total as we welcome you back. We went inside the Browns with Zach Jackson from The Athletic. Now, Andy Vasquez, this is his 8th season covering the Jets. Of course, on the beat there, New Jersey Advanced Media does a great job. We've talked to Andy before at Andy_Vasquez. Now, it's your 8th season covering the Jets, but it's singular in the sense that it just has to feel different. Let's start there on a macro level, covering the Jets this year. Does it feel a little bit different, Andy?
A little bit. I mean, it's crazy different. It's just weird, first of all. It's still a little bit weird to be like, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Jets. So that's, I think Jets fans are getting used to it, but so are we, because it's just, you know, it's hard to believe that it's actually happened, because we're so used to seeing him in Green Bay, too. But, yeah, I mean, the attention that's on this team, it's not like anything I've ever seen before, and obviously it wouldn't be. And you know, everything is, kind of feels different in practice too. It has been different the last couple of years with Robert Saleh, in terms of, you know, he's gotten people in the locker room to buy in to his message and the way he's doing things, and that changed things last year. But as you saw at the end of last year, they're still figuring it out. And I think having a guy like Aaron Rodgers here, who's obviously proven and has won before and is one of the greatest quarterbacks in history of this game, it helps, you know, that belief level that we saw last year. It is a different vibe and a different energy at practice through the first 10 training camp practices.
Andy, we've known historically John Harbaugh has always given an effort in the preseason. Their teams have done very well. Robert Saleh, we've seen a similar situation. Kind of take me through what the approach is from the Jets and what you would expect despite the fact that they're playing an additional preseason game tonight.
Well, yeah, I don't think we'll see Aaron Rodgers at all in the preseason, but there's a chance the fourth game. And things are different now. Like the fourth game is now with the fourth game for the Jets this year is usually the third game. It's kind of what the old third game used to be, even though it's the last game, because it's still 2 weeks before the start of the regular season. And I think there is some benefit to having guys out there together, especially when you're implementing a new offense and they haven't had the chance to do it under fire. But there's also, and Rodgers said this the other day, there's a little bit of fear from coaches. You don't want to lose an important player in a meaningless game. You certainly don't want to lose a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So, like I said, I think Rodgers hasn't played in a preseason game since 2018. He didn't even know that when he was asked about it the other day. But, yeah, it's been that long. I think there's a chance that he might get a series, but, I just don't see the Jets taking that risk, because if it goes wrong in that game and he gets hurt in a game that's meaningless, it would be – I can't even fathom what that would be like.
Jets 7-10 last year. The win total, Andy Vesca is joining us here on Sharp Money. The win total set at 9.5. Last year was the 12th straight year they failed to qualify for the postseason, but expectations are sky high, Andy. Let me ask you about two more additions. Breece Hall coming back from the injury and Mekhi Becton. Tell me where those two players are right now.
Well, we're going to get a really good look at Mekhi Becton tonight. I think to start, Robert Saleh said he'll play about 20 to 25 snaps. It'll be his first time on the field for a game since week one of the regular season in 2021. So it's something over like almost 700 days. And for him, basically, let's get through a game without getting hurt. He's made it through the last, three practices in a row after they kind of eased him in. And that's 3 days in a row for a guy who hasn't really been on the field for two straight years is a big deal. And the next step is to do it in a game, and then I think you could see him kind of get in the mix for the left tackle job. And then with Breece Hall, he still hasn't been activated on PUP. The expectation is he will be in about 2 weeks, and he'll be ready for week one. But it's going to be a limited workload early. I mean, they're going to bring him along cautiously. That's why they're in on Dalvin Cook. That's why they're going to be in on another veteran if they don't get Dalvin Cook. They're going to need somebody who's proven to kind of carry some of that load until he can get up to 100%. So I don't think there's anything alarming about that. I mean, we're basically 9 months removed from him tearing his ACL. And his rehab has been going great, but, there's certain benchmarks you need to check from a medical standpoint, and, they haven't cleared him yet. So I don't think there's any doubt he'll be cleared, but I think, you're going to have to ramp him up cautiously and see how his body reacts.
Andy, when you look at the receiving core, we know what Garrett Wilson is. I know it's only been 1 year, but still, he looks like he's bound to be a superstar. Tell me about what you've seen so far. What's your impressions of Mecole Hardman, Corey Davis, Randall Cobb, and Alan Lazard are?
Well, yeah, there are some additions, and obviously with Lazard, his connection with Rodgers is a big reason why he's here. And I think he's been a big help just kind of explaining the offense, kind of being a translator for Rodgers, for Corey Davis, and for Garrett Wilson, and kind of helping them along. And I think, he's a big body guy with the chemistry with Rodgers. Will play an important role in the offense. Hardman is an upgrade for them at the slot. Elijah Moore wasn't playing in the slot last year. This year he'll be, I think he would have been in the slot if he had stayed, but still, Hardman is an upgrade over Braxton Berrios, who played in the slot last year. And I think, he's going to play an important role and give them this explosive playmaker who can take it to the house. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Rodgers gets him the ball in space. And then Corey Davis is coming back. He's had a couple of down years. But I think having a guy like Rodgers could be really interesting to see if he can kind of tap into his potential. I mean, I think he was a number two overall pick. He was picked really high in the draft. Has never quite lived up to those expectations, but I think, it's going to be really interesting to see how it works with Rodgers, because you know, he's a reliable veteran and he's going to understand the offense and understand what Rodgers is doing at the line of scrimmage. So I think that could be a big advantage for him.
Andy, a lot going on with the Jets. Of course, Hard Knocks, a big season ahead. We look forward to talking to you during the regular season. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Okay, you got it. So it's Andy Vasquez does a great job on the beat there with the Jets. So a couple things. One, 9.5 is the number. I told you to start the show, fellas. These two teams finished it's a mirror of one another because they both finished 7-10 and the books are sitting 9.5 on their win totals. Now, a couple of things, Amal. You brought up Garrett Wilson. So I was digging through his receiving yardage prop. And if you take a look, so last year with Zach Wilson, Mike White, and Joe Flacco, he had 1,103, right? His prop over at DraftKings for receiving yards, and yes, I understand Breece Hall is going to get some of the touches and some of the wide receivers you mentioned they added are going to take some of the touches because he was their only receiver last year. But his receiving prop over at DraftKings is set at 1150. So does Garrett Wilson in year two with one of the greats add 47.5 yards in receiving yards to his total from last year? The answer is yes. First off, it was a team that went deep last year. So Saleh, just the mindset, he's not afraid to throw the ball deep. I know it's a different offensive coordinator. And then secondly, when you're talking yardage and a prop like this from Garrett Wilson, this dude's yak, this dude's ability to get open deep, like everything you want in a receiver is Garrett Wilson. I'm sorry, 1150.5 on the receiving yard prop over at DraftKings. I love the over here with Wilson teaming up with Rodgers.
Completely agree with you. And if you dig into his numbers last year, out of 17 games played with Garrett Wilson, six games, Patrick, he had under 30 receiving yards. He had 18 against the Seahawks, 30 against the Jaguars, 12 against the Patriots, 24 against Denver, 8 against Green Bay, and 27 against Miami. So think about that. In those six games, this guy was doing absolutely nothing. And right. This team, I mean, just real quick, doing the math on it, 119 yards in those six games. So 20 yards per game average on those six. And this guy still balled out to 1,103 yards in the other 11 games. And now
yeah, that's a good point.
Now with Aaron Rodgers, and remember that game where I mentioned he had 12 yards, two catches, three targets. That was the game where the Jets lost 10-3, where Zach Wilson thought he was not the problem. And you look at the Green Bay game, 1-5, even though they won that game. All I'm saying is you've got a legitimate big-time guy who's going to put the ball on the money. You mentioned the run after catch. With Aaron Rodgers, the ability to throw the ball into perfect windows, it's going to allow you to go from taking a 7-yard slant to get 8 or 9 yards into a 27-yard play from time to time. I love your point on Garrett Wilson.
The big play, it's a great point about he doesn't need, like, if he struggles and puts up 30, puts up 50 in a game, just come next week because his ability with the big play is there. And again, he only needs 47.5 more yards to go over what he did last year. And it's not Wilson, it's not White, it's not Flacco, it's Aaron Rodgers. So I love that. 16-1 Super Bowl odds in conference, 10-1 boys. In division, your second betting favorite. Of course, the Bills are your first at +270. Make the playoffs, Amal and Dustin. On the Jets, yes, a slight favorite at -130, no +110. And I mentioned it's 115 over, it's 105 under on 9.5.
Tough schedule, so, but I think they're getting in.
I would agree. I think the vibes are there. Breece Hall was awesome last year before he got injured.
I've been betting them to win the Super Bowl. I'm looking 4:15 a.m. on February 13th. I bet them at 25-1.
Wow.
Do in pocket with the big guy. Do we have a new top 10?
We do.
Oh, it's next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
So let's put it this way. Your hard work is coming up when the college football season starts because you got 60 college football games on a Saturday. Shout to Amal Shaw. So to prepare, let us do the work for you before we get there. That's the College Football Guide. Dropped today. It's been awesome getting the reviews back. Everybody's excited about it. Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get all access to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 College Football Betting Guide, both the College Football Betting Guide. And remember, when you sign up today, you get the NFL Betting Guide. And any guide we do, from here on out. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. I will tell you, if you sign up, you get the college football betting guide today, and you also get the pro picks. I will say Samich, even though he popped that Achilles, he's got three baseball games. I'll let you sign up for those, but he's also got the Browns Jets under them all, 33.5 in the Hall of Fame game. We were surprised to see a little movement northward up to 34, but it does look like most shops are settling in closer to 33 now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if you like the game, you better take it, assuming you're playing the under. If you like the over, I would wait, because again, 33 is not going to hurt you. And Patrick, I don't see it going back up. If anything, it could come down to 32.5. I remember when Dustin and I talked about this number sometime in July, I was really surprised it was over 31.5. I thought 31.5 would be kind of the number. When do you really wind up with a game that ends on 32?
Yeah. And if you're talking about the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, it was hard hearing him during the break because he was playing his violin while talking about his losses and his bad beats from yesterday. So I couldn't hear him over the little violin that he was playing. You okay, big guy?
I mean, yesterday was just a bad day. I had three bets that I checked in on the games. Well, one happened when we were on the air, two while we're after the show, and I checked in on them, just checking the score. I'm like, oh, I don't have to turn them on. Both games, they're up 5-0. I'm gold here. And then a couple hours went by, and I was like, you know, I haven't gotten the notification that the ticket cashed and the money was in the account. Wonder what's going on. Let me check in. And I go and look, and the Phillies lost in extra innings after going up 5-0. And the Reds, who were up 5-0 against the Cubs, ended up giving up 16 runs to Chicago. They lost as well. So the final remnants of my last deposit in my betting account have been placed in a parlay, which features the Jets money line -130 combined with the under in tonight's game, 33.5. It plays put +238, and that will get us back to even from where the deposit started.
Love it. And that's a vibe from Zach Jackson, who joins. Let me just do this because the guests have been great. Wes Durham, legend, joined earlier talking about the ACC. These are all interviews you can hear. Go to vsin.com and you can check them all out. Jared Smith, our teammate, joined us talking college football in the guide. Zach Jackson, he covers the Browns for The Athletic, and he said this team, this Browns team, it's Stefanski's like this. He's a numbers guy, probability guy. They want nothing to do with it. And then we just talked to Andy Vasquez, and I got the opposite vibe, which is Salah's, his whole MO. We're talking to Vasquez, and he's like, they're going to want to see some things. Like he was putting it together like the Jets were going to show you a little something. So you don't know. We just know the Browns tend to go with Stefanski the other way in the preseason. And also a shout out to the Hall of Famer, Vinny Maliulo, who joined us. Go ahead.
Quick question for you guys. If you had to choose under or the Jets, because maybe some people don't have an option of a same game parlay. Hopefully most people do. But if you were picking one or the other, and one other thing I'll point out, for some people, it might be hard to stomach taking a side with an under, because in essence, if the Browns score 15 points, or let me rephrase, 16 points, you're beat mathematically, right? Unless you take the money line, you'd have to have a 17-16 game. So if you had to pick one, what would be a preference for both of you?
My notion all along was just under, and I, all kidding aside, the Zach Jackson conversation took me off the under, and if I had to pick one of the two, yeah, I would take the Jets and lay the two or just play the money line.
Yeah, like he didn't just say like they're going to like be conservative. He said they literally don't want to be here tonight.
I would agree with you. I think the Jets are probably the more prudent play, because the one thing I remember we saw in the Raiders game last year, a quick turnover here or there, which could very easily happen, and you could wind up with a little bit of higher scoring game. I would rather take the side that I feel like is going to be a little bit more engaged.
Well, you know what scares me too? Dorian Thompson-Robinson being a mobile quarterback, that scares me in preseason games like this. I don't have numbers to quantify, but the ability to improvise and just run around and make plays could hurt the under.
I will say this. I think he's going to affect the under with a sack fumble more than he is than running for the ball.
I knew DTR shtick was coming because he was smiling while you were talking, which means in his brain, he thought he had a good zing. And it was, if we're being fair, it was. It wasn't as good as the Samich betting him on the Heisman next year zing, but it was good.
Solid. Very solid.
Improvising is a word you just brought up. And speaking of improvising, yesterday I asked you at the end of the show to put together a brand new top 10 list, which is not easy, and you did it. So go ahead and lay it out for us. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, I got to thinking, you know, we should probably do something special. It feels like that time of year.
No.
So we're going to go with top 10 smells.
This will make Wyatt and the squad downstairs, because remember, you had top 10 quarterbacks and they all moaned and said, we don't care. No, the only thing most people care about are the non-sports Dustin top 10 lists. And I would say your top 10 smells is the most non-sports list that's ever been done in the history of lists.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, I put together my top 10 quarterback list, and by the end of putting it together, I was like, I bored myself, and I'm the one doing this. It's my opinion. Let's do something fun and that I really believe in. So let's kick things off here. Number 10.
Well, first off, Michelle put together the graphic, correct?
Yeah, she's a legend.
I mean, that is a legendary graphic. For those listening on the radio, it appears a skunk, Dustin with an arm around a skunk with some flowers and the orangest shirt you're ever going to see. And Dustin, you look svelte in that picture.
It's that Ozempic body.
All right. Your top 10 smells. Number 10.
All right. Number 10. Look, you're lying if you don't admit that when you don't wear deodorant and you smell your own BO when you're sweating, that you don't enjoy it. No,
you're
listening to me right now and you're not willing to admit this, you're just a person who's not honest with yourself. You have to enjoy your own BO sometimes. It's one of those things where you stick your finger under your pits, you'll smell what's under there, and you'll go, that's awful, but I can't stop smelling it. So obviously
I genuinely don't. I'm sorry. I know you want me to play a log, but I don't love sticking, fingers in pits.
Amal.
Dustin, let me tell you something. When I have a hockey under, I don't ask for the clock to go this fast.
You guys are lying to everyone. Everyone smells their own stench.
You put your finger in your Kyle Pitts and get to sniffing.
All right, number 9 then. We'll go with this one. Whenever there's like a dry erase board, I get excited because I love the smell when you could pop open some fresh markers and get that scent.
Markers, that is a great smell. Intoxicating. I would agree with you. Next.
All right, number 8. There were a lot of baked goods I could have went with here. There's some more baked goods coming in the top half of this list. We'll reveal it tomorrow on the show. But the smell of a bagel shop to me is just an elite smell. It's the bagels, it's the garlic, it's the onions. It all kind of creates this wave that hits you when you open the door.
You love some yeast.
I would tell you what, though. I was at a bagel shop in New York back in May. And I remember walking, it was a Sunday morning. I was like, man, God, I missed this. This is good.
Yeah, bagel. That's a great one. Next.
Number 7, I love coffee. I drink like 3 or 4 cups a day. But one
with a bad heart, by the way.
Yeah.
With a bad heart.
Yeah. But one aspect of coffee that I think is slept on is like just the smell alone will wake you up a little bit. You don't even, like before you even sip it, it going, running through your nostrils, right into the nodules of your brain. It opens things up, and then you take that first sip, and it's perfect. But the smell definitely plays a role here.
I've never had a cup of coffee, but I actually love the smell of coffee.
That sentence is like I think Rogers is in studio, our boss.
Yes.
Nobody likes coffee more than Brian Rogers. And Amal Shaw just said, he's 47. The dude said, I've never had a cup of coffee. Straight alien sentence. Next.
And then number 6, look, it's a very unique smell. You know it when you smell it. Fun fact, John Goulet, who's had a new car for like over a year and a half, I was in it a couple months ago, it still has the new car smell. That guy takes care of his automobiles. Mine has grocery store sushi containers on the ground. His still smells like a new car a year and a half later. New car smell is the number 6 in my top 10 smells. I almost want to buy a new car just to enjoy that smell again.
That is way too low on the list. That should be number 1. New car smell is unbelievable.
I agree. And I low-key love this list. But nothing describes Dustin Sweetelson more than this list. Because if you can see it visually, it goes like this. New car smell, coffee smell, bagel smell, marker smell. So it's all normal. And then it goes, my own body odor.
That's Dustin. I completely stand by it.
That's Dustin and a list. I like this one. And great job, Michelle, with the picture. Boys, it's Jets in the under or bust tonight. Facts?
Yeah, unfortunately. This Hall of Fame game is going to be a real sweat.
I parlayed them, and then I took the Jets on the money line, minus 130. I'm not messing with points right now this early in the preseason.
I can't believe I'm scared of an NFL game on August 3rd.
The work has been done. All you have to do is sign up. College Football Betting Guide is out. Go to VSiN.com/subscribes. Last time I'm going to tell you, you won't regret it. Tim and Sean are next. We'll see you tomorrow here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.